Intro.
The intro music slowly starts.
I used to do drugs.
Oh yeah, we have a show.
And I still do. Yeah, we have a show. But I used to too. It's just random nonsense babbling.
Your mother.
Welcome to the Relative Rewind Podcast.
All right, we're back with the Relative Rewind Podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Cameron.
And we're back for another installment of this great show that does a lot of babbling just the same way we do.
It does. However, I'm not waiting for us to get into a really elaborate fight. I'm always waiting in Dragon Ball for there to be, you know, the next elaborate fight.
Yeah, it's especially when it comes to Frieza, there's always some kind of... I'm holding on to every syllable that's coming out of his mouth. I'm like so on edge with him. I'm like, oh, what's he going to say next for the next 3 hours? It never stops with Frieza. His mouth is his best power.
Yeah, I feel like they could have cut out 2 to 3 episodes of this just by how much they compliment each other for powering up. As far as they go, they're like, wow, golly gee, Frieza, you sure did power up. That's so great. And then he's like, Goku, you powered up too. But you're a monkey.
And of course, Frieza's going to not, you know, he's not one to be left behind as far as the rainbow trend of Dragon Ball goes. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Well, we got a couple of things to get into later. So I'll get into it starting with a recap of basically everything that Frieza, or what led to Frieza coming back in the first place. I'll just give us a recap up until this point, the beginning of the saga. So we start with Frieza coming back thanks to a wish made by Commander Sorbet. Well, his body parts are restored, really, and then regenerated, put in a regeneration chamber, and he comes back. And then Frieza spends 4 months training and gathers his remaining army, which he only gathers about 1,000. What was it, 1,000 soldiers?
Yeah, it was like 1,000.
So he trains for 4 months, which is a really odd time frame to train. You should round up to the 6 there, bud, but, you know, that's okay. So he takes 1,000 soldiers, arrives on Earth. And Commander Sorbet's second in command, what was his name? Takuma?
I think it was something like that.
Something close to the Toyota pickup truck. He gets body swapped by that old Namekian frog that we all love so much, Captain Ginyu. And Vegeta just, without having it, he kills him in one. When Vegeta and Goku finally show up, which, you know, it's just like Frieza Saga from Z, they're waiting to the last minute to show up. Vegeta's not having Ginyu back, takes him out in one attack. No big deal. Lots of dialogue.
And then he's all, okay, Goku, you can fight Frieza.
Yep. Well, Goku actually pulls it on him. He's like, well, you got to kill Captain Ginyu.
Oh, that's true. I mean, he does have a good point with that.
He has a very good point. So we catch back up to now it's Goku and Frieza about to go at it. Hopefully for the last time, but we know that's not going to happen. It's not the last time. It's not.
Yeah, this is like the Kardashians. It'll find a way.
Oh, God, it always does. It's
like,
just...
what's that line from Jurassic Park, life always finds a way?
Oh, man. Yeah, Jeff Goldblum. Gotta love it. The epitome of Murphy's Law is Jeff Goldblum. Just ridiculous. I love that guy.
I know, he's not even a very good actor.
It's like, neither is Christopher Walken, but they're both iconic for the same reason.
Okay, well, I will say Christopher Walken in The Deer Hunter is actually very good. That is the one performance I will give him that's stellar.
You had to hit on the one movie that I've not seen. I've heard so much about it, but I've not seen it, and it's hard to find anywhere in streaming.
Oh, what about him in True Romance?
Not exactly something I would watch just based on the title. I'd rather watch, if it's going to be something true, I'd rather be True Lies. That turned out to be pretty freaking good.
True Lies? Yeah, I do like that one.
Yeah, but True Romance, it's like, you know, I'm not all for it. But like you said, it might be good.
No, you got to watch True Romance, Kevin. You got to watch True Romance. The director's cut.
Okay, all right, I'll put that on my queue, as long as it's not like You've Got Mail.
No. It's very much more Quentin Tarantino wrote it, and
oh, if it's
everyone that I've recommended it to loves it.
If it's Tarantino, I'm gonna watch it. He
Yeah, no, he wrote it. He just didn't direct it.
I was gonna say he was pushing his quota. He said he'd only do 10 Hollywood films, and he's on like 8 or something. He's got like 1 or 2 left. Yeah. He said he was only going to make 10.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really hold him to
he's
that.
He's only going
to
make 10, which is good. I mean, he could live off of Reservoir Dogs royalties and be fine with that.
Yeah, I think he's someone who says he's going to do that, but then if he has an idea, he has a blank check from whatever studio to go back and be like, eh, there's kind of the science fiction thing I want to do, and they'd be like, here's your money.
But that doesn't take him off the table for writing or producing or anything. He said he's just not gonna direct 10 films. And
right. Well, and that was the case with True Romance, is he wrote it. He just didn't want to direct it. So Tony Scott directed it.
Ah, gotcha. So anyway, episode 24.
After getting to the good stuff, because we episodes of they're gonna be here
dialogue.
Soon. Oh, they're here. Fight. Oh no, they're here. Oh, they're gonna be here. Frieza's here. If only Goku were here and Vegeta were here. Oh, now Goku and Vegeta are here. Now if only they'll fight. Now they'll fight.
Oh yeah, it's straight up Namekian. You know, they always say history repeats itself, and it surely is doing a damn good job of it now.
I think the experience of having grown up with the pacing of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, I think life itself just seems to be experienced through the lens of a hyperbolic time chamber in itself.
And we see enough of that in all the Frieza sagas.
Yeah, what I will say, I usually wait till the day that we're going to record to watch these. I think the series is growing on me and bringing out like my inner younger teenage watching Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z self, because I just went and mainlined these episodes like last weekend after we recorded, because I was like, I wonder what happens.
What was your back on that main line? A little bit of a little hoovering of the schneef, or do you just do it straight through?
Straight through.
Okay, good choice. You might get some of that bathroom schneef, and that's just a bad time. You don't want any of that. So, but continue.
Yeah, no, I don't want no bad schneef.
No,
but that's what I like. That's what I likes about you.
Oh yeah, definitely. No bad schneef. Never.
No, never bad schneef.
So anyway.
So Goku and Frieza fight? I don't know how to start describing it.
Well, I want to, another thing that kind of, you're saying how you were brought back, which just like the title suggests, or the title of our podcast suggests, it's a relative rewind. We are meant to go back and be nostalgic, you know what I mean? And I didn't really notice this. Or remember noticing this the first time that Frieza and Goku squared off. But Frieza's a good, like, 2 feet shorter. Two and a half feet shorter than Goku. I mean, I knew he was short, but, like, what a little shit. Literally.
I remember being surprised as a kid that the, like, all of Frieza's prior transformations, like, I think the second one is the coolest, where he's, like, the big bulky thing where he's fighting Piccolo after he fuses with Nail.
Did he still
on Namek?
I get those confused. Is that the one where he's still got his head and he's just like oh yeah, that's like King Cole. King Cole's in the second form. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I always get it confused whether it's he still has his normal face or the alien.
The base one is just the one that we saw at the beginning of this one. The second one is the giant King Cold one. The third one is the big penis, like hot dog shape head one. And then the fourth one is the one that we see.
You totally ignore
that. That looks like Mewtwo.
You totally ignore like the alien xenomorph reference. You just go, oh, the penis head one. Just yeah.
Well, that's what I thought about it. I was just like, wow, that guy's got.
Hey, man, look at if he's got that on his head. Them legs are pretty muscular.
You know what they say about people with big.
He's got a big long head.
Xenomorphic.
He's got a big long tail.
Heads.
Oh. He's coming prepared, let me tell you. Oh, geez.
He's a shower? Grower?
Well, he's definitely both. He's all for show, and he definitely does grow. Although, he gets big, then small. I don't know. It's a cartoon, you can do that. But that's the whole point, is being fun.
Okay, so, We should probably talk about the episode.
Yeah, get back to the stuff instead of breaking it down.
So Goku's just trying to fight him. They're like, they like power up a little bit. They start to fight. But Frieza tries to attack Krillin and Bulma because...
he's trying to attack Krillin and Bulma.
Yeah, and so Frieza's trying to distract him so he can sort of get an upper hand tactically, and he, like, lands a bunch of blows on him. But because Vegeta senses that, like, both of them are holding back, he starts to attack Goku in midair, and everyone's like, what is Vegeta... turning against us and joining Frieza again? And then they waste another 10 minutes being like, Vegeta, are you betraying us? And he's like, no, I'm just impatient. And then he's like, okay, Kakarot, just go Super Saiyan God. And he's like, all right, I'll go Super Saiyan God. And then Goku's like, okay, I'm a Super Saiyan God, even though I don't have the five Saiyan touchy thing. So he touches into the power, but his hair isn't red. It's like Robin's egg blue now, if we're going by crayons.
Yeah. See, about that, as you just mentioned, he doesn't have the red hair anymore. But if you remember from episodes before, and we, the whole genealogy, all that crap, history of Saiyans.
Chronology.
Yeah, every time they fight, they're pretty much like living Pokemon or Mortal Kombat fighters, where every time they fight, they're getting those XP points. And especially with a transformation, a big power-up, you kind of already absorbed enough, and you've leveled up. Now, your base form kind of levels up. You don't need to go to that power form. It's always, your base form is what that power-up was. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was Whis's analogy of the tree compared to the mountain.
Exactly.
And speaking of Whis, a lot of what he said in criticizing Vegeta and Goku both come out very prominently in the next few episodes.
And very subtly, which I love about Whis. I love that. We hear the other side of it.
I don't know that the Goku one was very subtle. It was very, he said it at the very beginning of this, where he said, Goku, you let your overconfidence take over, and you, like, so someone could get the drop on you, and he's like, that's never gonna happen. When is that ever? Oh, no, it happens.
It's almost like it's scripted.
Yeah. Hmm. It's like the writer that writes the whole thing, and then they're like, I'm gonna put this thing of a character saying it earlier so that it makes them look smart and insightful.
The other thing that I just love, and it's based off of previous experience, and, I mean, obviously Frieza had a hell of a long time to sit there and think in his head. One of his first attacks is to go straight for Krillin. He's like, nope, I'm going to get you for the second time, trying to not only just be pissed off and get some revenge, but he's also playing at Goku's heart, which, like you mentioned, is kind of Goku's weakness. He's got that big heart. He knows he's going to go after Krillin and deflect the blast off of him, save his friend.
Yeah, and if we remember, Krillin was kind of traumatized by the whole being exploded last time that they fought Frieza. We get a lot of flashbacks in this, which I appreciated, because I was like, how did he kill him again? And then as soon as I wondered that, it cuts to the Dragon Ball Z B-roll, where it just shows Krillin going, oh no, and then getting lifted into the air, and then kablam!
You know, I got a couple of people I could call up right now who will attest to the fact that you never forget when you get blown up, and it does something to your brain other than warp it just a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm sure those people that you know actually live in a world where death is permanent, not in the world of Dragon Ball, where it's like, we'll just wish him back.
Wait a minute,
with that other set of Dragon Balls,
you don't live in a world where death is permanent.
Oh, I do. Yep, I'm just saying that, like, if we're comparing Krillin's trauma to, like, you know, they get a redo over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I wouldn't really, if given the chance, I wouldn't want for people to go back and experience some of the redo stuff that they've been through. But we'll get to all that stuff a few episodes down the line in this episode.
So, if we remember, Bulma was saying, oh, Whis, because Goku used instant transmission to get there, but they're trying to get Whis and Beerus there, but they finally show up unexpectedly to eat the strawberry sundae that Bulma made for them.
That's
but not
been
before
out
running
in
into to hey, this will be important later when they run into Universe 6's destroyer god Champa and the Whis equivalent Vados. And he's like, "Hey, you're in the wrong universe." And he's
"You know
like,
the
oh.
Universe 7 is mine. What are you doing here, Champa?"
And then Champa's like, "I'm Champa-ing. Okay, goodbye."
Yeah, he's and like, then, "Oh, I'm taking a stroll." And he's like, "Your belly doesn't reflect that you take much strolls, Champa."
Yeah, and then they mention something that's probably going to come into the next saga where they're like, "We found 5 of the 7 thingamabobs. That won't be important later. Okay, goodbye."
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. That's not a head-scratcher at all. I mean, when you got somebody walking up to you on the street or whatever, and they're like, "Okay, I've got all 5. You don't spend the rest of your day or possibly staying up all night wondering what he had 5 of. You need to fucking know. But you can't.
You can't. I mean, unless it's a serialized TV show.
Exactly.
Or some sort of anime.
The great writing. The great, great writing that keeps you like, right there. It's almost like they want you to come back.
All
right.
So now that Goku's gone full... Are we also calling this Super Saiyan God or what?
No, this is later on referred to as Super Saiyan Blue. Because
Super Saiyan Blue. Okay.
It's a
he goes Super
Saiyan
Blue.
It's a Super Saiyan... Or it's like taking Super Saiyan God, the red-haired version, not Kaioken. This one's like pink. It's taking that and then making a Super Saiyan form of that, and that's where the blue hair is. It's kind of confusing in the rainbow hairs and transformations of Dragon Ball, but that's the easiest way to put it. And I think Goku actually explains it in here.
Yeah, Super Saiyan Blue. And then Frieza's like, "All right, you showed me yours. Now I'll show you mine, teehee." And then he becomes Golden Frieza, which is like the Super Saiyan God version of Frieza. And then they talk at each other like, "Boy, you sure are impressive now." And then...
Just leading into the epic long dialogue of pissing match. And nonsense sparring, just pissing match.
Yeah, no, Frieza and Goku should have just started making out. That would have been about as useful as all the dialogue.
I would have been more interested to see that. Like, just fuck it out. Don't hug it out, don't kiss it out, just fuck it out. Hate fuck the shit out of each other like they do on some Pornhub stuff where it's sex wrestling. The first to achieve penetration is the winner. I want to see that. I'm sure it's on some anime.
Whoever comes
somewhere.
First loses.
Yeah, I don't understand how you would be the loser.
That's why I said it.
Cut to the hyperbolic time chamber training of that. The first to come loses. Like, "Oh, I gotta get my endurance up." Ah! Purple hair, Kaioken, everything coming at it. And getting the endurance up. Okay, we're going way off topic here. But what?
I was going
to
say, you could do a Florida firehouse in there.
This is a two-hander. Oh, Jesus, kids.
Florida firehouse, it's so fun. Look it up and do it one.
I'm not going to, but somebody is going to go home and look it up.
Can I tell you about it if you want to know?
Well, this is a podcast. That's the beauty. We can say anything we want.
Okay, I don't know if it's still up on Urban Dictionary because they got rid of a lot of the older, smutty stuff like that. But basically, the Florida
stuff.
Firehouse is a group of people, regardless of gender, and you all draw straws like you're doing a bet. And then the person who draws the short straw is what they call the bucket. And now,
what
you know, you just have a regular old fuck orgy with each other. But whoever the bucket is gets any type of body fluid that the not bucket people want to put on them can put on them.
Okay, now you've really piqued my interest. I am going to have to watch videos of this. Well, not right now. Sometime after sunset.
I don't even know that it's real, but
well, I'm
don't
gonna
you
find
want it to
it.
Be real?
I'm the kind of guy who's going to find it. I mean, I normally would be looking it up right now if this was a phone call, but this is being recorded. I don't want any kind of bad evidence. video recorded. If the FBI and all that crap want to spy on me through the webcam as well.
Oh, no, the FBI probably came up with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So,
all right, so Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, speaking of penetration.
They fight a little bit? Is that what they do?
Yeah, I think it's all just foreplay at this point. It seems like it. Like, it seriously is like one of those things where an angry husband is like, you made a humiliating sight and spectacle of me while you were railing my wife in ways I never could. Now I can do the only thing that I'm capable of doing, sacrificing myself through hours and hours and hours of dialogue until you finally want to commit suicide. It's kind of like that.
You're like, why don't you just watch the Frieza saga? And he's like, good idea. I'll go do that.
Yeah, it seems a little more productive, but yeah, that's what the fast forward button's for.
But yeah, this was a little bit underwhelming, because the problem with this is that I like that it's shorter than a normal Dragon Ball like saga is, but as they both Frieza and Goku admit, they're both not really used to their new forms. It seems more like a
it's more of a trial run.
Like it's like an exhibition match without any experience or they've been training for months, but all they did was reach a new level. They don't actually they haven't actually explored it enough.
They haven't utilized it, and they're not going to on each other. Up to this point, it just seems like I mentioned earlier, where it's just a pissing match between them, and it's doing this, I'm going to do this, and it's just an endless stalemate and just makes for good television, though.
So Goku can't really keep up with the power of Frieza's golden form in terms of speed or power, so he starts getting super pummeled. Like, he gets thrown to the ground, beaten up, his energy blasts keep, not failing to miss their target. And then, he's beaten Goku pretty good, even though Goku's at, that almost equivalent level.
And it's still at that point where, as Goku's getting beat, he's still learning from it. He's like, okay, I know his old moves, but I'm still going to get my ass handed to me, almost literally. I'm going to take the beating to figure out where these new weak points are, which is cliche and Art of War kind of, best defense is a good offense or some such nonsense, but I don't know. Getting your ass kicked just sounds like a bad strategy overall.
Yeah, but as we've known for hundreds and hundreds of episodes, that's how Goku learns.
Exactly. Still going back to, as you hit me, I'm getting those XP points. So I'm only going to get stronger, or at least smarter.
Yeah, just think of Sylvester Stallone being Goku's trainer in his mind, and he's like, the best thing you could do is learn how to take a punch.
Just go out there and get your ass kicked, man.
You take the punch.
Don't go full retard.
Rocky, I turned out okay.
Just look at Adrian. Oh, I messed up the line. But hey, box him out. Run some stairs.
Boxing's my creed. Get it?
Oh my god. That really, okay. That's there. That happened. That happened. That's there now.
Just like the Florida firehouse.
Oh, Jesus. You know.
Hey, Jesus might have been there.
If we.
You never know.
If we get this stuff put on like Patreon or something like that, eventually go down that route, I am going to put in clips of this kind of crap. Because I know where it's going to come in handy. Oh, man. There's even more. I didn't mean that on purpose. Oh. Anyway. So Goku ends up caught on the wrong side of the fight's tail end, and things not looking good. Goku resorts to being stupid and, pretty much cheating like Frieza. He's sinking to his level, literally sinking his teeth into his tail. Out of all the attacks, that was the one that made me go, oh, yes, finally. Instead of the typical stuff. When's the last time you ever saw somebody bite somebody? I think Goku did it to Piccolo when he was a kid.
Probably Mike Tyson. I don't know.
Was it, though? I don't know. I get bit by my girlfriend every day. So this fight's going on, this pissing match going on and going on. And
oh, and we should mention that Goku has this hypothesis that Frieza can't maintain his power. So that's like you were saying, Kevin, he's like, huh, if I just keep taking this beating, maybe it'll show me a weakness of this. And that turns out to bear fruit in a little bit.
It's basically, and it's kind of common knowledge to Goku, which is why you always see Goku going Super Saiyan 1 or Super Saiyan 2 and now Super Saiyan God. You're not seeing much of Super Saiyan 3 for that very reason. It's a lot of power. It's good in a struggle, but it's so power consuming, it does have a time limit that you never see it on Goku unless it's training or making a point. Because that is his, like, Rocky mode. It's stupid, it doesn't last long, but man, does it pack a punch.
It sure does, Kevin, it's me, Rocky.
You just call it Yo Vegeta.
Hey, Kakarot.
I'm sure people are
go
loving
this audio.
Go
beat up that boxing Frieza. Punch him, what good?
It's like Robert, well, what was it? What, like they said in Tropic Thunder, you never go full retard. Sylvester Stallone only went about brain dead. Just shy of brain dead for that role.
I mean, for most roles, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for the first Rambo. I do like the first Rambo.
The first one, it's... Yeah, it's classic. I'll watch the originals and stuff. Like, Rocky... Anything after, like, 3, I'll stop unless it's Star Wars. Because you kind of can't start... It didn't... With the confusion, but it's still going. But...
Yes.
Where do we leave off?
Oh, so Goku...
big explosions and lots of sound or special effects later. Goku hits the time expiration of Frieza's golden form with a massive headbutt. He's really pulling out all the stops on this one. Muttering an inaudible command to Sorbet, it seems Frieza's not done with tricks, and he's dirty as always. So Goku goes on a heroic score-filled monologue. Sorbet is now in position, taking advantage of a powered-down Goku. Why did he power down? Because we said he's going to
again. I don't understand. That's the part that baffles me. Even when he spared him before, he didn't power down
and
back
Goku's
on Namek.
Goku still, again, we told him, stop letting your guard down. Yet, faced with his, like, mortal enemy, he powers right down, leaving him wide open to a perfect heart shot, concluding in a promise of Goku to fight Frieza again. Whis even points out how Goku still exploited his heart, literally and figuratively, as a weakness, letting down his guard. So it's now finally Vegeta's turn, almost forgetting he is in this show too.
Yeah, Sorbet's Ray Gun, which is Goku's one weakness,
I
guess.
Oh, yeah, you can take all these earth-shattering blows, but a stupid Ray Gun? Dude, Ray Ring! It wasn't even a gun. It was a ring, like... Yeah, no, nothing. Okay, then what the fuck, Goku?
Yeah, that's like losing a fight to Chiaotzu.
I would almost want to kill myself at that point. Because that would be the ultimate benefit. If I killed myself after losing to Chiaotzu, I'd be on King Kai's planet and I'd train and train and train, and that would never happen again. I would just kill Yamcha over and over and over. Yeah, no, that's
wow, that's a real good.
That's not that hard to do. We've all seen the memes. We see. I was in Walmart or GameStop a few days ago, and here's a little Funko Pop collectible of Yamcha. I was like, is he sleeping? And it says Yamcha dead. And I'm like, I need about 30 of these ones, 30 of them. Yeah, for every single time. Yeah, you already know. Go ahead, back order that shit. You can't have one. You need the whole collection of dead Yamcha.
Yeah, because there's so many of them.
They're good for any occasion.
Need to get out of a work obligation or a sexual harassment training? Here's dead
Yamcha.
Just
plop down a dead
Yamcha. Need to get out of a parking ticket? Look, I was in the carpool lane, officer. Look, here's my co-worker.
Are you late for grandma's funeral? Blame it on dead Yamcha. Oh, my God.
Coming to stores Oh, wait, they're already there. So go buy
Tired
one.
Tired of the world being back to normal? Almost forgetting that there is an expiration of wearing a mask? Just throw dead Yamchas around and blame it on COVID. We'll all get more stimuluses and lockdowns for sure. See, I think that's why Yamcha died so many times.
Mr. President,
COVID.
How do you explain all these dead Yamchas?
COVID. That's why he kept dying and coming back to life. He's like, COVID. We'll get the vaccine right eventually. COVID. Dead Yamchas. I don't know. God got tired of it. Or what was his name? King Yemen.
You forgot the name of God?
No, the big guy at the beginning is Snake Wake on the way to King Kai's planet. I think it's King Yemen. He's like, Yamcha, just go, dude. Just go back. Just go. You know what? Here, I'll see you in 5 minutes. Okay? You get it.
He's like, this time I'm going to train and I'm not going to die again. And then 5 minutes later, he's back and it's like, what happened?
He's like, what happened?
Car.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay, next time he's out, brain aneurysm. All right, yeah. Okay, what happened this time? I choked on some rice. Jesus, Yamcha.
I fell in the shower.
Yep. Where's your life alert? Yamcha, we've had this discussion so many times. Your grandma knows better than you do. Here's a perma life alert. It's embedded into your chest like Tony Stark. Just stop dying.
He would die from the implantation.
Definitely. Yeah.
I tried to get it implanted, but I died on the operating table.
He sneezes and he dies. So speaking of not dying. Speaking of not dying. The beginning of episode 27, we got Vegeta finally confessing why he never fully goes all out with Goku. It's right there in the beginning. Vegeta always needs Goku in his life so he can always have someone pushing him to get stronger. Also pointing out how naive Goku is after Whis's warning Goku's body is launched back to the Z Gang for recovery. I love that part. How Whis is sitting there talking, or they're talking about it, what Whis said, and Vegeta's like, I've had enough of this. Get up! And pew! Just flings it over. Okay. You know, the guy's only on the verge of dying.
Oh!
What's that?
We forgot to mention something, which is when Beerus and Whis are eating the strawberry sundae, when Beerus was saying that he's not going to choose a side, he's just going to let the fight play out, like he'll basically let Goku and Vegeta die if Frieza gets the best of them, that Bulma gets told in what comes to be important in this episode, that he's like, well, you stay close to me and I'll protect you, because she promises to keep bringing him food that's special to Earth.
Yep.
And so everyone just kind of comically scoots more towards Beerus.
Like, and Whis, you know, his foodie side came out, because it kind of, as he's like, he looked up from his ice cream. So it was more of, as long as you protect this ice cream, I will not kill you. Just ever the big food critic as he is.
Okay, so, we forgot to mention. So before they do the body fling, Frieza's about to kill Goku, but Vegeta, like, steps in at the end of episode 26, and he's like, you forgot I'm in this fight. Then that's the end of the episode. And then that's when they...
they did something? Yeah.
He's actually to help Goku.
Like you said,
Goku.
Right before he flings him. And right after...
Oh, and then we get the hilarious thing of... I was actually thinking about this after the ray gun. I'm like, Sorbet's been alive for a long time. And then when Frieza tries to blast Goku's body, Vegeta redirects it, and it just kills Sorbet.
Yeah, he served his purpose. You're only as valuable as the one task Frieza asks you to do. Then you're good as gone. He was.
Yeah. And he was pretty
useful.
He
brought Frieza back. Yeah,
he
brought Frieza back.
He resurrected
him. At least thankful, or grateful at the very least, for that.
Well, he did more than that.
Yep.
He got the Dragon Balls. Oh, no. He developed the regeneration technology. He found the Dragon Balls to wish Frieza back, to resurrect him.
This is valid.
And he did the sneak attack. And got the forces there. He did four useful things. In the realm of Frieza advisors,
he's
basically like...
He's better than Zardon by far. But, like, okay, highlight of Zardon, who was Frieza's right-hand man during the initial Frieza saga. All he did was go on it, or try to take on... I want to say it was Vegeta. Yeah, it was Vegeta, and then transformed and died. That's all you really saw, besides him saying, like, little strategic stuff like, "Oh, my lord, the Dragon Balls are not far now." Like, get him away from the mirror for 5 damn minutes. He might have done more. Like, give him 47 years to do 3 more things. I don't know. But this is where...
Yeah, well, Sorbet was definitely not kept around because he...
He outlived his purpose at that
was
point.
Was stronger
Frieza
anything
Frieza already
like
killed
that.
All the men. Once he needs Sorbet to command. Takuma's dead, so there's nothing useful for Sorbet to even do.
Well, Takuma's in a frog.
Oh, this is true. Ginyu and Takuma's body was dead.
I really
yeah.
hope that they don't circle
I,
back
don't
to him.
That.
I don't need another 300 episodes of antic. Ooh, there's an Easter egg. There's the Ginyu
yeah.
frog.
I'm trying to remember further ahead from what I see. No, I don't think that does come back. It'd be a useless side point anyway. Although Ginyu was kind of that way. But if you're bringing back Frieza, why not bring back Ginyu? They go hand in hand. And they went hand in hand almost
yeah.
immediately in dying.
Yeah, Ginyu makes sense because he worked for Frieza. Frieza comes back. He comes back. It's fine. But I don't want that to happen again.
And then this is back to the episode. Vegeta also has laid claim to his Super Saiyan God form and unleashes his raw power upon Golden Frieza with ease. But that's not really a fair testament to Vegeta's power because Frieza's already been getting his ass kicked. He's kind of already softened up for the most part. So, of course, Vegeta's going to look like he's just toying around with them. That's you're taking him on at half power.
Yeah, so Frieza's like basically facing the ground, and he's like, "I can't lose, not again, not to Vegeta." And Vegeta's got like a ball of energy, and he's like, "This time, don't even think of trying to resurrect." And then Frieza, like a punk, just decides to blow up Earth,
doing the exact same shit. He's getting ready to blow up Earth in the final seconds, doing the same shit again as he did before. Although the only person who knew about that trick was the only person left on the last planet that Frieza destroyed, which is Namek, which would only be Goku. Goku's out of the picture, not knowing what the hell's going on. He's laying there on the ground with a clear hole in his chest, no blood coming out of it, which, well, it was a laser, so.
Well, he got Senzu beamed pretty quick.
Of course, but he was a little late in warning Vegeta that, hey, he's done this before, which... As we'll keep going, you'll see we'll come back to bite him in the ass. Same old tricks, same Frieza.
So he blows up the Earth, which kills Vegeta, Videl, everyone, and Pan. But Beerus manages to whisk Whis manages to whisk Beerus and all of them into like outer space, where they're just surrounded by this barrier. You know, just out there traveling. Just kind of floating.
Actually, what?
And basically explaining that Frieza's probably not dead because his species can basically survive in a void of, in the void of space. Vegeta's definitely dead because,
Frieza's, we're right back to Namek again. Actually, what that was, it was where they were floating at. They were still standing, or they were in the exact same spot that fight was going on. They just had that shield around them, and all that debris was Earth. It literally all exploded away from them. So, like you said, then it kind of we're leading into a big altering part here.
Well, and this also kind of closes the circle on a question that I had as a kid. When Frieza goes to Earth to kill Goku before future Trunks shows up and cuts him to ribbons and blows him up, when he dies second time? First time? Whatever time that was.
The Mecha Frieza?
What?
Or, that's the second
time.
Foreshadowing?
Yeah, the second time that he dies. He said he doesn't want to... He didn't want to blow up Earth from outer space because he wanted to show Goku, like, to kill him in person rather than just destroy the planet. So I like that they kind of... He learned from his mistake, unlike Goku.
Yeah, which will soon be corrected.
Right, and Vegeta didn't finish him off fast enough. But then Whis reveals that he can move back through time 3 minutes.
3 minutes in time is actually a lot in Whis explaining to Goku, after he's made this mistake twice, stop being so much of a pussy. Do what you got to do. You only get one shot at this. I can't do a redo for, what do you say exactly, a while. Don't, he's saying, don't fuck up. Just do it. This is your only chance. You can't do anything but change in that moment. And that was a very pivotal moment for the rest of the series, as far as I've seen.
Yeah, so Whis rewinds time back to where Vegeta's just, like, beating the pulp out of Frieza, and Goku powers up a Kamehameha just as Vegeta's about to, you know, it lands back almost exactly at the moment where Frieza is on the ground. He's about to blow through the molten core of the earth or whatever, is like, ah, ha, ha, fuckers, gotcha. And so Goku powers up. He yells just in the nick of time before Vegeta is about to power up, like to blast him and say, this time don't even think about trying to resurrect. He's like, he jumps in because he's revived now. He's not like on the ground like he was before. He yells at Vegeta to get out of the way. Vegeta moves. And he blasts Frieza to Kingdom Come again, and he dies. And Frieza dies again.
Yep, I was just going to say, cut to Frieza back in hell. And I love how all the fairies and shit were like right in his face in that moment. I fucking loved it. I love Frieza in hell. Just bloodshot, eye strain, crap, like absolutely miserable. The way that hell's supposed to be. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Yeah, so fitting. So Vegeta's mad at Goku as he, you know, explains after the fact. He's like, I didn't get a chance to kill him. And he's like, well, here's what happened. The earth blew up. And he's like, I guess that's fine. Gohan is pretty rattled by how he got shown up by so much by Frieza. And so he goes to Piccolo, recently brought back to life, because they had the Namekian Dragon Balls the whole time.
Yeah, I
kind
of missed all that.
I thought Sorbet said that they couldn't find them.
Yeah, no, I think Earth was closer. I don't know.
But they've been on Earth. If they had them the whole time, then they had them.
You're right. There was a good plot hole there.
They're like, we just have the Namekian ones. Yeah. And it's like,
Never really referenced. Because even back on the cruise ship birthday party, those, even just looking at them, you can tell by size were the Earth's ones. And you already knew because Shenron appeared. Yeah, no reference because the Namekian dragon, his name hasn't even come up. So, yeah, let's just throw that in because it's in the fucking script.
They're like, we just want Piccolo back. And he agrees to train Gohan because Gohan wants to be able to protect Pan and Videl after losing them with Frieza destroying the planet. Piccolo's happy to hear about him wanting to train again, and now Gohan will probably not be.
But that's the
second
right there. It's actually the second time. There's two little foreshadowing things there. Like as soon as it cuts to Gohan going back up to Videl and Pan, he's like, "I promise," or he like more or less vows, "I'll just keep you safe no matter what." And it's like, are we hinting at Great Saiyaman's return there? And then with him getting trained by Piccolo, it's almost for certain we're going to see some more Great Saiyaman like I know you love so much. He's a great dick.
I love the Great Saiyaman.
It's fun to say when you're drunk because then it just comes out, yeah, I love Great Saiyaman. Like, I don't recommend you say that.
Yeah, the Grace.
It sounds like something fun to do at Walmart at like 2:30 in the morning. Just stumble around. I love Great Saiyaman. And then when you get arrested for like obscure language, just say, like in the morning, be like, I love the Great Saiyaman. See his action figure. It's in my pocket. And then you could beat the whole charge. I don't know.
Why do you have an action figure in your pocket?
You're just
you love wearing
the
like
Great
cargo
Saiyaman.
Shorts.
I don't.
I mean, I like the Great Saiyaman, but I don't have a Great Saiyaman action figure.
You see a beautiful chick like, hey, man. You never approach a chick like, hey, man. But it's a great pickup line. Or anything. Yeah,
chick or
anything
dude
you're
or
into,
inanimate
I mean,
object.
If it's a
whatever
good
you're
oak
into.
Tree or a squirrel, whatever. I got some Great Saiyaman in my pocket.
I mean, doesn't sound very comfortable, but sure, yeah, whatever.
And speaking of this,
I mean the tree
okay,
one
just
specifically.
Because something is hard and it generates its own lubricant and has holes in it, doesn't mean you should stick your great Sandman into it, because trees are sap.
Yeah,
no,
you don't need to put your Jingleheimer
calling,
in there.
It's John and Jacob over to help you out of the tree. And Smith might show up, too, because he's going to be the guy sitting there with a fat cigar like, I told him not to do it.
And they're just his name is my name,
Mr.
too,
Satan's
man.
Satan's just going to sit there and go, ha, 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 I saved the day. Like, where the fuck are you in reality? How are you two-dimensional? Okay.
I mean, to be fair, CNN is basically the media in Dragon Ball.
This is, you know what? I thought you were going with, like, CNN would be better off if Mr. Satan hosted it.
I mean, they would be.
That, oh God, yeah. Oh, there was a gas spill in China. I was in Michigan, but I was out there to save it, I tell you.
Speaking of
I
Michigan,
need another 10
one
million.
Of my favorite things that a politician has ever said, in 2012 when Mitt Romney was the Republican presidential nominee, he was doing a campaign visit in Michigan, and he said, I love Michigan. The trees here are just tall enough.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it for the past decade almost, and I still have
no
idea
what that
means.
Okay, I'm a Michigan native. You're a Michigan native. I've lived on the East Coast, West Coast, and seen a couple, just about 35 out of the 50 states. And, okay, so you're down in Kentucky, so you've seen a little bit, more of the world, too. What the fuck does that mean? The trees are just tall enough. For what, a hanging? We're the North. I don't know. Somebody, we're going to have, when we get social media and people listen to this, write it in. We'll leave a link somewhere in the future. I will, anyway. Yay, more tech stuff. Tell us what the fuck that means, eventual listeners.
I mean, Mitt Romney is filled with those, like, question mark quotes. Like, one time he said, hot dog is his favorite
meat.
And I'm
sure red is his favorite Kool-Aid. Red's a fucking color, not a flavor. Actually,
probably.
90% of people, if you go up to them and just randomly say, what's your favorite flavor of Kool-Aid? They're going to say a fucking color. But if you say, what's your favorite flavor of Gatorade? They'll be like, oh, Arctic Blast White. And it's like, see, that's a specific flavor. You don't just go the white one because there's 12 different white Gatorades. You have to know it by name.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Kevin. Grape.
I hate grape.
It's grape.
You know, there's a reason why I hate grape is because apparently when I was like 18 months old, I downed a whole bottle of cough syrup. And then at 2 years old, I fell down the stairs and broke my arm. And I didn't know this shit till I was 20. Thanks, Mom.
Wait, that's why you hate grapes?
Yeah, because of the cough syrup. I drank a whole...
What does the breaking your arm have to do with the cough syrup?
Bad parenting. Shout out to my mom. Love ya. Didn't tell me this stuff till I was 20, and it's like, I didn't know I ever felt, oh yeah, you fell down the stairs and you broke your arm. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm 20. This happened 18 years ago. We could have had another legal mean this time. Like, love you, Mom, but your memory, not so good. But she'll tell you anybody's birthday in our family. She'll meet you once, ask your birthday. 15 years later, she'll remember it. I don't know how she does that shit. It's crazy.
Hey, some people's memories are just wild.
Well,
like that,
no, other things that are wild is she'll say the dumbest shit. Her little trademark one now is she said this last summer. She's like, hey, Buffalo Wild Wings has chicken. Like, me and my dad stare at each other and it's like, you fucking serious? Really? And then what was it? She says, girls like diamonds because they're shiny. No kidding. Really, wealth of fucking information, and we swear it's Alzheimer's kicking in at some points, and we'll just hit her with random questions like, when's Cameron's birthday? Oh, that's like August, blah, 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 blah. Okay, when's so-and-so's birthday you met once 10 years ago? Oh, that was March 19th. Okay, she's still saying she's good. She can say more dumb shit. Like, just checking on your mom. Alzheimer's kind of killed your whole family. That's going to be great when she really does start losing her mind, but I'm not wiping your ass, Mom.
But she'll always remember your birthday.
She will. My dad still never does. He just goes, when it comes to dad and Christmas, because my birthday is right around Christmas. It's after Christmas, actually. He just writes his name on the card and he goes, I gave you enough to cover half of this, right? Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, this includes your birthday. Love you. Like, fucking asshole. Really? It's a DVD you got out of the $5 bin at Walmart, and you're saying this is Christmas and my birthday. Fuck you. Like, at least I mom mean, got me.
That's better than the.
Mom got me like 12 packages of fucking boxers she found at the dollar store for 50 cents each. That was more quantity and thoughtful. You're just like, hey, cool runnings. Here, enjoy the DVD. Hey, Merry Christmas. Like, I'm going to throw you down the
hey,
fucking
look, son, I got,
ski slope.
Big Mama's House 3, like father, like son. Here you go.
Oh, you got me the director's cut of Wrong Turn 27. Just what I've never fucking needed. Another director's cut of a worthless
Dad,
movie.
Dad, everybody knows that the theatrical cut is better.
Yeah, this could have been edited to 4 minutes of just somebody screaming their head off going, this is ridiculous. And I would have watched that more. It would have had more viral hits on fucking TikTok than in the Walmart bin, you dumb bastards. But hey, those are good fucking movies to sit down and get blazed to, like Sharknado.
I mean, one time. I mean, what I do for what I do for birthdays is I get my family members a grief card.
Oh, okay.
And I cross out the some words, and it'll say like, "So sorry for the loss of your husband," but rather than husband, I'll cross that off and write birthday.
You see, and I always do it too. I do the countdowns instead of the count ups, because nobody wants to hear once you hit a certain age. Fuck, I couldn't even tell you how old I am. Once I hit 30, I'm like, who gives a shit? It's just another worthless Christmas and birthday. But I'm going to get another fucking DVD from Dad. But shit, now I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, yeah, that countdown. And if somebody's like 60, you don't go, hey, you're 67. You go, hey, another year closer to dying. Like, you know, it mentally prepare you, especially in a pandemic time. It could be tomorrow. 67 years old. Prime suspect right
yep.
there.
Don't fall on and trip over one of those dead Yamchas.
No, they're going to. Don't slip on a fucking used mask. Banana peel your way into a dead Yamcha. Oh, my God. That's the truth. There's a good meme. Just take a bunch of dead Yamchas, a picture of a bunch of dead Funko things, and just say, this is the true pandemic. And then, even though he was plastic, the cause of death is still COVID. Oh, God. Now I can't even remember.
I mean, it looks like he was only killed about 2 times during Dragon Ball Z.
Bullshit.
And his counterpart in the Trunks timeline.
So that's a total of 4 times. Because if he died twice, then his counterpart in Trunks died twice too. So that's 4 times he's died.
Yep.
But don't you square that or something because of multiple dimensions and shit? I don't fucking know. I'm not a dead Yamcha. I can't figure this shit out. But yeah, I mean,
Well, I think that's going to do it. Like, that's pretty much the Golden Frieza saga and how we handle birthdays in our respective families.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, birthdays. Dad, I look forward to the DVDs every year. I do. They're amazing that you even think of me. But when asked in July...
So, join us on our next episode where we talk about Universe 6 and the beginning of the duplicate Vegeta sagas.
Wait, the what-e-whatins?
They call it Universe 6 and duplicate Vegeta sagas.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember this one now. I know it's, I know exactly who it is. This is where, I'll give you a little bit of foreshadowing without spoiling it. But this is where you're going to see a lot of changes happen. A lot of the heart is still there. I'm not going to say who or when or anything, but a lot of the heart that they've learned from Whis is still there, but other people start learning it from each other too. And the next saga is basically wrapped up in that. And then it's going to get more and more. And every weakness that's been pointed out in this past Frieza saga is going to be strengthened and very, very, very well fashioned. So,
all right. Well, I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man.
All right. Well, we will see everybody next time on Relative Rewind.
All right. And for Kevin and Relative Rewind, I'm out.
As is Cameron. See you next time, people.
All right.
Turn off.